House of Mystery. Good evening. This is Roger Elliott, otherwise known as the Mystery Man, welcoming you to another storytelling session here at the House of Mystery. Today we continue with Chapter 2 of our current story, The Monster in the Lake. And since we have a lot of ground to cover, I suggest we get right into it. Is that all right with you?
Yes,
all right, Johnny, if you'll turn down the lights, we'll let you give us a brief synopsis of what's happened in the story so far. That's fine. Go ahead, Johnny.
Well, it all started when you got a letter from a man named Martin Dobbs. You used to know him at college, but you hadn't seen him for 15 years. In the letter, he said he was in some kind of trouble, and he asked you to come and visit him at Macklin Lake, his place in the mountains. When you got there, everything was kind of mysterious. Steve Harris, the caretaker or handyman who met you at the station, just kind of hinted at certain things, only he wouldn't tell you what. But he did tell you that his wife, Bertha, did the cooking and that she also took care of Mrs. Dobbs, who was sick. You didn't have much chance to talk to Mr. Dobbs himself because he had to go in and see his wife. So you and Steve Harris walked down to the lakefront, and you were on your way back when all of a sudden you heard a woman scream from one of the cottages.
Yes, and it was a shrill, high-pitched scream, born of fright and terror. Steve Harris started up the path toward the cottage.
It's Mrs. Dobbs. She's seen it again.
Seen what?
You'll find out soon enough. Too soon.
We hurried up the path. When we reached the cottage, Martin Dobbs was waiting for us on the porch. His face was ashen gray, and there were beads of perspiration on his forehead. He looked like a man who'd thought he'd seen a ghost. But he hastened to reassure us.
It's all right. Everything's all right.
Well, if I can be of any help, Martin.
Thanks, Roger. Thanks just the same, but everything's all right. Bertha's with her now. Steve.
Yes, Mr. Dobbs.
Would you drive into town and tell Dr. Newcomb I'd like him to come up here as soon as possible?
Yes, sir.
Well, don't you have a phone here, Martin?
Yes, but it's been out of order since Sunday. Bad electrical storm. I'm sorry that had to happen just when you arrived, Roger, but...
Oh, forget it, Martin. The only thing is I feel a little helpless. Perhaps if I knew what this was all about, I might be able to do more than just stand by.
I'm going to tell you, Roger. I'm going to tell you everything just as soon as I can pull myself together. No, good Lord.
What's the matter?
I promised you buckwheat cakes for breakfast.
A cup of coffee is all we really all I want. We can get that ourselves, can't we?
You don't mind?
Of course not.
Well, let's go into the kitchen. Bertha should have some coffee on the stove. After you.
Thanks.
This way.
How long have you had this place, Martin?
I bought it 3 years ago. A Wall Street man owned it, a fellow named Macklin. That's why it's called Macklin Lake. I hope I wasn't wrong about Bertha having the coffee on the stove.
You weren't. I can smell it. Matter of fact, she's even got the buckwheat batter mixed in a skillet, warming.
I'd better close this door.
If you like, Martin, I can fry up a batch of buckwheat cakes. They may not be as good as Bertha's, but they'll be edible.
Now, go ahead if you want to. But don't make any for me. I couldn't eat a thing. Now, I'll pour the coffee.
We'll hold the buckwheat cakes until tomorrow. I'm sure the batter will keep.
Do you take sugar and cream?
No, just sugar.
It's on the shelf right above you.
Mm-hmm. Now, Martin, suppose you tell me what this is all about.
Well, frankly, I don't know where to begin.
Well, suppose we sit down and you begin wherever you want to. Tell me as much or as little as you think you'd like to tell me. Here, take this chair.
Yeah. Well, it isn't that I want to keep anything back, but... Now that you're up here, there doesn't seem very much that I can tell you.
Well, it's quite evident, Martin, that something unusual is going on. I'd have to be blind not to see it. And it's just as evident it has something to do with the lake.
Who told you that?
No one actually told me. Neither was I told that it has some connection with Mrs. Dobbs' illness. But that's true, isn't it?
Yes. Well, here's the story. It may sound ridiculous to you, but you might as well know it. As I told you, I bought the Macklin Lake property 3 years ago. I bought it particularly for Evelyn, Mrs. Dobbs, because the doctor said that the mountain air would do her a lot of good. And they were right. She gained weight, slept well, and the hacking cough she developed disappeared almost immediately. Each spring, she looked forward to opening the cottages and getting back up here again. Well, this year, we came up a month earlier because she hadn't had a very good winter. You won't believe it, but 48 hours after we arrived, she was herself again.
Why shouldn't I believe it? You have a wonderful spot here.
It used to be wonderful. Isn't anymore. The trouble started about a month ago. When the weather was nice, Evelyn liked to take a beach chair down to the dock and sit in the sun. There's something about the calmness of the lake that relaxed her. She spent hours at a time down there. The day it happened, I was in town with Steve, picking up some tulip bulbs and some fertilizer. I remember we had difficulty parking because of the county fair that was on, and everybody and his cousin was in town. We got back here about 4 o'clock. I found Evelyn in her room, crying, hysterical. She said she'd been sitting on the dock when suddenly she heard something splash off to her left. She'd been asleep and the sound awakened her. And when she looked around, all she saw was some ripples in the water, which she imagined had been a jumping fish. She settled back in her chair and prepared to doze again, when suddenly she heard another splash, even louder than the first. This time, she saw the head and shoulders of what she described as a huge monster rising from the lake and coming toward her. She remembered nothing about what happened after that, but evidently she must have screamed because Bertha heard her and rushed down to the lake. She found Evelyn lying on the beach, half conscious. Her face and neck were bruised, and her hands were lacerated.
Now, how did that happen?
I don't know, but she must have put up a terrific struggle.
Well, that means the monster actually attacked her?
If there was a monster.
What do you mean by that?
No, it's all very confused, Roger. She sees the thing in her sleep, but honestly, I don't know whether it's all in her imagination or not. Ever since this happened, she's refused to leave her room. She sits at the window all day long, watching the lake. And 5 minutes ago, when you heard her scream, it was because she thought she saw the monster rising out of the water at the end of the dock.
Has anyone else seen the monster? You, Steve, or Bertha?
No, but there's an old fisherman who lives in a shack at the north end of the lake. I asked him whether he'd seen anything. He said no. But at night, he heard strange noises. Like someone groaning.
Is there anyone else who has access to the lake?
A few people from town fish it every now and then, but I didn't want to ask too many questions and get this thing noised around because I wasn't sure.
You weren't sure of what?
Frankly, I wasn't sure there was anything in Evelyn's story. Anything real, I mean. You see, Roger, there's a history of insanity in her family. One of her brothers is in an institution now. And she had an aunt who lost her mind.
Too many people believe that insanity runs in families. Good doctors will tell you it isn't so.
A dozen good doctors have told me, but now, I don't know.
You mean you think your wife's out of her mind? She's having hallucinations?
It isn't that I want to think it, but
I understand. Tell me, Martin, has anything like this ever happened before? Has your wife ever imagined she was seeing things?
No, never. That's what frightens me. Is she seeing things, or is this monster real? That's why I wanted you to come up. I thought you could do more than any doctor to convince her that it's all her imagination.
But you're not sure that it is.
No, I'm not sure of anything anymore. Oh, that must be Stephen, the doctor. I don't know why I keep calling him. He's been up here a dozen times and hasn't done any good.
Dr. Newcomb's here, Mr. Dobbs.
I'll be right out, Steve. You'll excuse me, Roger?
Of course. You mind if Steve and I do a little exploring?
Not at all. Steve, you stick with Mr. Elliott, will you?
Yes, sir.
I don't know how long I'll be, Roger, but go right ahead and do anything you wish.
Okay, I will. I think we'll go back to the lakefront, Steve.
Back to the lakefront?
Yes. I think we'll take a boat out and see whether we can meet the monster face to face.
How far out do you want to go, Mr. Elliott?
Where are we now? Now, about a quarter of a mile offshore. Is the lake deep at this point?
20, 30 feet.
All right, suppose you ship your oars and we'll drift. The wind's south. Just a breeze, but it should carry us to the north end of the lake where that fisherman has his shack. Coincidentally, what's his name?
I don't know. Everybody around here calls him Pop. Mr. Dobbs told you about him, didn't he?
Well, just that he lives in a shack at the north end of the lake and says he hears peculiar noises at night, like someone moaning.
You can't believe anything he says. He's crazy as a bedbug.
How does he live?
Catches a few frogs and fish and sells them in town. You should see his shack. It's like a pig pen.
Tell me, Steve, what do you honestly think about this monster business?
I don't know, Mr. Elliott. Bertha and me was talking about it last night. She says Mrs. Dobbs is going out of her mind. She thinks Mr. Dobbs ought to take her away from here before she really gets bad.
Bertha doesn't believe that Mrs. Dobbs saw a monster in the lake?
No.
Well, what about you?
Well, I guess I don't believe it either, except it.
Except what?
I don't see how a person could start seeing things just all of a sudden. I figure maybe it was a big bass or a pickerel.
You think Mrs. Dobbs might call a fish a monster?
Just getting a glimpse of it coming out of the water, she might. A 10-12 pound pickerel's a big fish.
What was that?
Bass jumping. See him? Jumped again.
Yeah, not a very big one.
That's funny.
What?
Bass don't jump like that, over and over.
That's the fourth time.
Yeah. I'll bet something's chasing him. Look at how the water's boiling where he went down last.
Can you paddle over there?
Maybe we hadn't better.
Why not? You've got a rifle and I've got a pistol. We certainly don't need any more protection than that. Here, let me get up at the bow.
Watch it. These round-bottom boats ain't very steady. Watch it, Mr. Elliott.
I didn't do that. I was standing still.
Well, there's something under the boat rocking it.
Use your oars. Pull away.
Too late. We've got a boat.
All right, Johnny, turn up the lights.
Oh, my. Well, then there was something in the lake. Then Mrs. Dobbs was right, huh?
We weren't quite sure at that point, Johnny. All we knew was that the rowboat suddenly began to rock violently and then turned over, spilling us into the lake.
Well, weren't you afraid?
Well, I wasn't very happy about it. Monster or no monster, the water was pretty cold.
I would have been scared stiff.
Well, don't make any mistake. I didn't feel like any hero. As a matter of fact, I made a beeline for the overturned boat. The only thing that stopped me was... what happened to Steve?
What happened to him?
Well, I'd better save that for tomorrow, because if I tell it to you now, you'll be staying up all night trying to figure out the solution. Anyway, there isn't time. But I can assure you, Steve and I spent a few very exciting minutes in that ice-cold lake water. And for Steve, they came close to being his last minutes. But you'll hear all about that tomorrow at this same time, and for our radio listeners, this same station. I'll be waiting for you at the House of Mystery. This is Roger Elliott, your mystery man, saying good night.
Roger Elliott tells a new story every week at the House of Mystery, and you're all cordially invited to attend the meetings of the Mystery Club Monday through Friday at this same time over many of these stations. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.